All right, guys, let's talk about Jägermeister. They could have written a totally normal ad here, like a really classic ad. They could have talked about their history, the 56 botanicals. It could have been all salesy and cutesy, but they know you don't care. Jägermeister doesn't want to be like all those other ads you've seen and heard. They just wanted to say two things. Jägermeister is great, but everyone has been drinking it wrong. Damn, that's cold.
Drinking it wrong? All right, if that's the case, how should we be drinking it?
They are so glad you asked, and so am I, Dad. I'm here to help you. Ice cold is the answer, at 0 degrees Fahrenheit to be exact. Ice cold shots of Jägermeister. That's it. That's all they want to tell you. So, wherever you are, if you're hanging out with friends or at the bar, call the shots. Cheers with ice cold shots of Jägermeister. Damn, that's cold. And remember to check out Jägermeister at www.draftkingsxjagermeister.com. Remember, drink responsibly. Jägermeister liqueur, 35% alcohol by volume, imported by Mast Jägermeister US, White Plains, New York. Lots of things are better together. Hockey, food, golf, synchronized swimming, tailgates before a college football game, late night karaoke, especially late night karaoke. There is nothing better than a duet of summer love, and I can assure you that. But if you really want to take things to the next level, drink some Labatt Blue Lights with your friends and live life to the power of we. Always enjoy responsibly. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
It's a beautiful morning. I
think what's up, everybody? Welcome to Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. That is me. With me, as always, on Wednesday, which now we can say with some degree of sincerity and certainty, super producer Brandon Newman and the woman, the myth, the legend, Charlotte Wilder. Guys, both for the YouTube audience here in delightful matching Patagonia quarter zips, because it is winter no matter where you are right now.
It's What's that up, time guys? Of year, Mike. It's that time of year. And Brandon and I we just knew. We were like, he's going to wear the yes. snap tee pullover, isn't he?
Oh, you know the yes. you know the names.
Oh, I know the names.
You may be a little further than I am, Charlotte. I am a co-op member at REI, as we've discussed, but I did not know the name of this wonderful sweater. All I know is I'm moving. That means I have 2 to 3 sweaters that I'm constantly rotating in and out of.
So I feel maybe like I live that way anyway, and I'm not moving though. So.
That's true. Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
That's part of adulthood, is just rotating the certain few items of clothing that are nearest the top. I've learned that as someone who moved a few months ago and thus reorganized a lot of my life into a different closet setup, is whatever's on top and in the easy access areas has been what I have worn the most.
Totally.
Now, maybe you guys can help answer this question for me then, because you guys appear to be a delightful wintry mix of humanity right now with the outfit choice. It is getting nearer and nearer the holiday times. We are knee deep in this. Does Michael Bublé exist outside of December? I was having this debate with Brandon offline, and when I went to look him up on Apple Music, the top album they were promoting was the 10th anniversary remastered edition of his Christmas album, which felt telling.
So love this question. Yes, he does exist outside of the Christmas season, but only in elevators.
Ooh, oh, that's like right.
That. Or God, occasionally a hotel lounge that is mm-hmm. trying to be nicer than it actually is.
Bon Voyage, Marriott system is. Bon
Marriott Bon Voyage.
Sounds like the Marriott cruise liner is what it sounds like. Welcome to the Marriott Bon Voyage. Michael Bublé will be your host and your captain. And at any given point on the ship, you'll just hear in the background, and in this crazy life, and in these crazy times, it's you. You make me say...
It doesn't even ring a bell, Mike. I had to ask you.
I know.
As someone who does covers every day on this podcast, I asked Mike, I was like, did Michael Bublé do anything before he started singing other people's songs? And he was like, yeah. And then he had to, like, he found those two songs. I didn't know the second one. What's the first one I knew?
It was Haven't Met You Yet, and then Everything, which is one. The song that I was just singing, which were staples of, like, early aughts rom-coms
as
either the music for the preview, like the that they would put together, or just within the body of the movie.
Yeah, I don't. I think I would know one of those songs if I heard them. Although I don't know that I knew it based off of your rendition. No offense, Michael.
None taken.
But I think he, Michael Bublé, thrives in December. Is the answer.
I felt like Mariah Carey gets that label and everyone makes TikToks and memes about how as soon as the calendar flips to December, All I Want for Christmas Is You comes and all of a sudden her energy is coursing. I feel like we have to show that said same love, because while Michael Bublé doesn't have like the one original Christmas banger in that way, he does ultimately embody the season. And I feel like his Christmas special is sort of like the Christmas Story of live specials, where it just pops up around every year.
Wow. You know, I have to say, I went to get a flu shot today, which I would like some credit for, because that felt like a very responsible thing to do. And I heard All I Want for Christmas in the Rite Aid for the first time this season, and I felt like I was on top of the world. I didn't even cry when she gave me my shot.
Fueled by Mariah Carey. Built
Guys,
different
I get,
all-star.
I get real scared.
Really, Charlotte?
Yeah. I mean, I don't cry, but I was sitting there and I was like, I might pass out. And she was like, what? And I was like, no, haha, just kidding. And she was like, wait. And I was like, just give me the shot.
You can't say that and then say JK to a medical professional. They're like,
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend going that route.
When's the last time you passed out via shot?
Every time I get blood drawn, I fully faint, and they have to leave me in a dark room with apple juice for at least 10 minutes.
Honestly, Manos? That sounds like a great life hack.
I don't hate it, except that I feel the life draining out of me, and then I try to put on a good face and be brave and be like, I got this. And then at a certain point, I just turn like completely white and I start sweating profusely and I like pass out, and they're like, you can't. Just like, let us know. And then they bring me saltines and apple juice and I lie down for a while and then I leave and I'm fine. So a little bit about me.
Yeah. Something you guys may not know about me. That is Charlotte Wilder special there. That is a life hack of how to end up in a dark room with snacks and apple juice if you're out in public where they are allowing you to draw blood. So this is a podcast where you learn things. And this is a podcast where we're going to have a great show. Charlotte is with us all episode today. We have plenty to get to. Her New England Patriots played one of the more forgettable Monday Night Football games of all time. We had two of the central figures of our basketball lifetime age us very quickly by having their kids go out and be phenomenal athletes on television. And guys, we've also got, I think, a very interesting style move from one Drake. So we got a lot of things to get to here on this episode. I would be remiss to starting things off before we get to a lot of the fun if we didn't mention the absolutely shocking and devastating news out of the world of college football with Mississippi State head football coach Mike Leach passing away very unexpectedly Monday night at the age of 61. And I didn't know Mike Leach personally. I didn't have a lot of interaction with Mike Leach, but it was impossible to exist in the college football space without being aware of one of the most larger than life characters that the sport had to offer. And Charlotte or Brandon, I don't know if you guys had any experiences with him, but really there's a lot of stories being told right now, because that was kind of how Mike Leach operated. If you were within his atmosphere, he pulled you in and he was just going to go. And it was whatever came to his mind. He had varied interests. He wasn't without controversy. There are parts of Mike Leach that were things that we didn't always like, things that I didn't always like. But he was an incredibly round character in the sport, and someone that certainly from an on-field perspective, between the air raid offense, between the coaching tree that he produced that includes guys like Dana Holgorsen and Dave Aranda and Cliff Kingsbury and Lincoln Riley, has left an indelible mark on the sport that will be one of the most unique legacies it's ever seen. So very sad day. Obviously, think of his wife and his family and the people that are closest to him, but just incredibly stunning how quickly that news started to circulate Monday night that he was in poor health, or excuse me, Sunday night that he was in poor health, and then into the way that it ended Monday, just incredibly sad.
Yeah, I think I think what you said, I think to me, when I think of Mike Leach, when you reading all the obituaries, reading people's tributes to him, he was obviously a complicated person. I think when he was alive, I've had very conflicted feelings about him, but I think it's impossible to say that I think he completely changed college football almost more than any one individual person, especially for someone who didn't end up coaching at one of the Blue Bloods, or who really did because of his own, because of who he was and what he did, a lot of times sort of ended up shooting himself in the foot, maybe a little bit career-wise, if that was, you know, I think he just made such a huge difference, you know, Washington State, Texas Tech, which obviously ended, you know, in its own complicated way, and Mississippi State. And I think that the people who he worked with who are in the sport now have continued to take, you know, his on-field ingenuity, because it was brave when he did it. It was totally risky when he started developing these teams that could pass. And so I don't think you can talk about college football in the last 30 years. And I don't think it would look the way it looks if it weren't for him. And the NFL even.
Yeah, I was going to say that trickle up, and we see it in college in a variety of ways. College is traditionally a level that's got to be a little bit more creative with the resources because the talent is so uneven and the landscape is so vast. And what him and Hal Mumme did as the architects of this offense at Iowa Wesleyan, at Valdosta State, that became Kentucky, that became Texas Tech, is, you're right, something that we now see. The reason it is almost ubiquitous now that you don't blink when you see these air raid concepts show up in the NFL is because of that, you know, him as a coach, him and what Hal did, and that Texas Tech staff that you can go back and look at and watch it branch out into the tree that it is.
Yeah, I think as well as he did on the field and changing college football and the landscape and how people from the outside look at the sport that birthed you and I, Mike, in that way, I feel like, as complicated as he was, I was appreciative of him being himself at all times, almost to a fault, because I think it showed other coaches how they can show a little bit more personality, and they might actually get rewarded for it a lot of times. We obviously, Trevor Sikkema has been on the podcast. His fiance, Alyssa Lang, after a game, famously asked him about getting engaged, and he gives this great sound bites, and I don't want to kind of minimize it to that, but that is how these coaches and these players and these entities live on in a very real way, especially with us as people who consume them. So I think it's very sad to see that he was just gone so quickly, especially like getting into the end of the season. Like, I feel like we weren't done with this college football season, but as every college football team is different year in, year out, it feels like college football as a whole that's already changing like in mass shifts every day and every year, especially after COVID and after NIL deals. Like now with Mike Leach gone, it feels like it really is pushed into a new territory completely.
Yeah, it's strange to try and comprehend this space without him, because to your point and to Charlotte's point, he was somewhat of a renegade within the sports and existing on the outskirts. And I think in college football, I always have a fascination with people that are managing to win in places where you have no earthly business doing so. I think, you know, right. You think of Bill Snyder at Kansas State and what he was able to build, certainly I think is at the top of the list. But to go into Lubbock and to be the author of a moment like we saw when Texas Tech upset Texas, that Michael Crabtree catch that will live in most of our brains who grew up in that time period, will have that play stamped in us. But then to be able to replicate that at Washington State, to see what was going on at Mississippi State under his tenure now, it's just, between that and all the stories, it is really, really hard still to try and grapple with this. I think everyone's still kind of coming to the grips with the reality of this situation. And so we've all kind of said it in one way, shape, or form. He's a complicated, very varied, very full person in every sense of that word. And however you view him, and there's certainly going to be a time to talk about that. But for now, I think the central thing of this is it's just impossibly sad. It's impossibly sad to watch how quickly he was ripped from the world and ripped from so many people that cared about him and did have a relationship. And we will all certainly miss Mike Leach. So that's, you know, something I know we all talked about before, wanting to make sure that we got in there, because even if you didn't have a relationship with Mike Leach as a person around college football, you still in some ways did. And I think that says a lot about the person at the helm of all this.
Can I just say one more thing about him that I think for me is the biggest takeaway? I love that his ethos was learn 20 plays really well. Make sure that you know these 20 plays inside and out. You can do them with your eyes closed, as opposed to trying to get fancy with it or tricky. I feel like that's just, you know, not to be corny, but such a good life lesson, which is like, get really good at the fundamental things you want to be good at, and then add on to those, because that's really at the heart of being very good at anything, is making sure that you've got those building blocks. And I think that it can be very tempting to want to skip those building blocks, or want to believe that you can get fancy sooner than maybe you should. And I really like that way of operating.
Yeah, it really is incredible to think about. And it's one of the biggest lessons I know I always took with sports, is sometimes there is just no substitute for repetition when you understand that something does produce results and you've got that proof. So
yeah,
incredible on and off the field for that point, certainly, Charlotte. So, you know, again, thoughts and prayers to Mike Leach's family, to the folks at Mississippi State, Washington State, Texas Tech, everyone who's been touched by Mike Leach's tenure in and around this sport. As we always say, no easy transition, guys, into talking about the normal stuff here, but we will do just that. And Charlotte, since we've got you here and we're talking about legacies and history, I was very curious how you felt, as we're all age-wise peers, on ESPN last night, or I guess it was two nights ago as the release of this podcast, watching LeBron James's son and Carmelo Anthony's sons play basketball on TV the way that we watched their dads at one point do when they were at St. Vincent St. Mary's in Oak Hill?
I was shocked, to be honest. I didn't know that ESPN2 was putting on their big you know, high school, what was it? King of Christ. What is the school in Queens, in New York?
Oh, yeah. So it was the Geico High School Showcase. It was Sierra Canyon, where Bronny plays, and then Christ the King, where Carmelo Anthony's son plays, Keon.
Yeah, and you know, it was late on the East Coast, and I had just watched the Patriots somehow win one of the ugliest football games I'd ever seen, and then, you know, turned to ESPN2, and I was like, I'm sorry, what? I was like, first of all, LeBron is supposed to still be in high school because I'm supposed to still be a few years younger than he is. And now I'm watching his son, who looks exactly like him. And then I'm watching Melo's son, like, somehow sink this absolutely beautiful three, touching, like, he like received the ball and 0.5 seconds later, he sank a three. And I was like, oh my God, these kids are out of control. And I felt so old. And I'm not that old. We're not that old, you guys. We can't do the like, oh, I'm old, but I felt it. And also somehow seeing Kim Kardashian sitting there made me feel even older, and I don't know why, but it was weird.
It was complicated like that, right? Because we're not old, but the one thing that I have had to reconcile with recently, and Brandon can appreciate this because he is an actual father, is we are actual parent age now. Yeah. Like, so many of my peers are parents, and not to, you know, kids that are playing high school basketball, but it's a reminder that they're much closer to our age bracket than I often realize, especially as someone without kids. And so seeing them in that environment, because we also pluck them out of the context that we're used to, right? We're used to seeing LeBron James battle it out with a struggling Lakers squad right now. Carmelo Anthony still unsigned, his basketball career kind of up in the air at this point. But then watching them go here and be dads in a gym that is populated with, like you said, really famous people, was jarringly out of context, even knowing how, you know, much LeBron James has been being a dad in public for a while now too.
Yeah, and they both have been that way, and that's why this feels very like social media on screen. I mean, I don't know if you guys remember the first time you got a chance to see Zion at Duke, but like he was the internet basketball star for a really long time. You know what I mean? Like there's something about seeing these people and thinking about the first time you experienced them.
It's also like thinking about this is the world LeBron and Melo created that allowed this to happen. 100%. Like I saw a lot of it getting recirculated again, like it's sad and untimely, but people recirculating Grant Wall's original piece, the SI cover, profiling LeBron James back when he burst onto the scene. And I remember back then being able to turn on high school games on ESPN and watch this dude and seeing all the coverage. And that was pre-House of Highlights and pre-Hoop mixtapes and all these things that have become such a brick and mortar part of being a young basketball player now that are embodied by Bronny and what he's going through right now. So it's a very full circle moment to see the originators of this now watching their kids benefit in some ways, and in some ways it's got to be a tremendous amount of pressure that's also become a part of that.
I mean, it's definitely pressure, but it's obviously a pressure that they have the EQ to get where they're at right now. I think that's important to mention, like whatever accomplishment to get Bronny and Carmelo's son on the same court playing on ESPN, like this It's special, but it's important, but also it's something that they've chose. And that's why I like that. What's the son's name? Bryce.
Or
the other ones?
Yep.
Like, I, you know me. I love a sidekick. Like, I love that Bryce is now getting some love and everybody's starting to look at him. It's just like the reality of having LeBron James as your dad.
It is very interesting. Bryce and Bronny have both signed NIL agreements with Clutch Sports, which is Rich Paul's organization, who, you know, LeBron James runs the entire NBA. It's weird to watch because we kind of did this with the Ball Kids too, when you started off with how that worked, starting off with Lonzo, where now people are looking at Bryce and he's kind of hitting this growth spurt and we're starting to talk about these guys as prospects. And it's also strange because of that last name, and I kind of remember that going through this with Jordan's kids to a much lesser extent, all the attention that's been heaped on them. Bronny's got NIL deals with Nike and Beats by Dre. He signed with Clutch Sports the way both of them have. They've kind of been the most distilled down form of what we've talked about a lot on this podcast with current athletes is you got to grow up really fast. You don't get to just be a high school basketball player. And for Bronny, he doesn't just get to be a normal recruit. Like, he's not his dad. He's not really in line, based on what I've read from most basketball people who scout him, to be like a surefire one and done in a way that gets him on the court with his dad the next couple of years. He's looked at as a guy that could go in and might come off the bench at the beginning of his college career, could go the G League route, but it's by no means a sure thing. But we all know him far more than we know most prospects within his range of how they're scouted and how they're graded by NBA and college basketball folks.
Well, I think that's exactly right, Mike, but I think they're born like seven rungs up the ladder, and I don't mean wealth-wise. I do mean visibility-wise. I think that it might seem like a lot of pressure, but I feel like, and maybe it is, I don't know, I'm not them. I'm not trying to psychoanalyze who these guys are as, you know, teenagers, but I do think that when you are brought up, you know, I've sort of seen it with people I know who grew up like very wealthy or with parents who were important people. I think that your range of what is normal is set a little bit different so that you can occupy these spaces in a way that it probably felt like they were, I mean, to me, it felt watching like, of course they're here. I think the strange thing about it was that we were watching a complete game as opposed to highlights, because I personally do not watch a lot of Sierra Canyon games just for fun. And so for this to be like a marquee event that I happen to be watching when I'm used to seeing these guys as highlights on TikTok or, you know, in a commercial with LeBron or something like that, I think to me, almost the distillation of all of this was when, either at halftime or after the game, I don't remember, Malika Andrews was interviewing Carmelo, and she was talking to him about his son, and she said, you know, at the end, she was like, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask, what are your aspirations? Because, you know, he's not on a team right now, but he hasn't retired. And he said, I just know that it's not in my control, but I'm ready on some level. And I thought, wow, like, look at these two dads who have controlled every aspect of their lives and their sons' lives to give their sons to have their sons end up playing on the Geico High School Night Spectacular, whatever. And even they are on some level at the mercy of what these teams need, what these leagues need, you know, for their kids, what these schools need. Like, you can control so much. And then at the end of the day, Carmelo is not on a team right now. And I know he's older, but like, I think influence and last name get you really far. And then your talent really has to actually get you the rest of the way, because that's how it works.
That's one of the interesting things, too, that I've read about LeBron James' role in Bronny's recruitment is, I remember, I think it was The Athletic did one of those articles that gets promoted all the time on my Twitter timeline that I read about those guys. And
you mean every time you open it?
Yes.
Yes.
It's, they do that with an article about my dad leaving ESPN, too. It's really weird. But
I see that every day, Mike.
Great photo of your dad, though.
It is a great photo.
Happy birthday, too.
Yes, I was going to say, happy 60th to dad on Monday the 12th. But it is like in that, I remember they sourced a lot of anonymous quotes from scouts and people in college. And the one thing that came back was, yeah, LeBron James has been a really easy parent to deal with on this front. And remember, LeBron James didn't really go through this process in the same way, because he was the consensus number one pick in a time where we didn't have the one and done phenomenon. And so going through all of that, having him be in the wings is going to affect Bronny's recruitment. It's going to affect how people look at and process this situation, because you're going to get this kind of attention. And it's the reminder of what Charlotte said. You're right. These guys probably do have, and I think EQ, the emotion, you know, the emotional ability to handle all this stuff, they probably got it because this has been normal their entire lives. It's just going to be watching other people react to it as they go along and allowing them the opportunity to become the basketball player that they're going to be, regardless of what goes along with it. Because again, in this game, Kim Kardashian and Khloe Kardashian are sitting courtside. Kobe Bryant's oldest daughter, Natalia, basketball wives, people, NBA, Kenyon Martin was there. Nick Young, current Lakers, were there. It was everybody that was in this little gym watching all of them play. And it was just completely normal for those guys. Like, we had Taylor Swift come to our football practice once when we were at Notre Dame. And we could barely get to stretching lines in order because we were all so distracted and all looking around and gawking and watching this very famous person, even back in 2009, circle the practice field, then make her way out very quickly. And these guys just played a whole ass basketball game like it was nothing, having the Kardashians there because their dads are LeBron and Melo.
Also, why was she there? Why was Taylor Swift there?
Oh, because of Austin, Mike.
Oh, yeah. Her brother was at Notre Dame for like a semester as a student.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, no, I think you're right. I think it's that these kids are just like, I'm not impressed by any of these famous people because my dad's more famous than any of
it
them.
It does.
So
I wonder if that translates to the rest of the team too, though. Like, it's got to be weird. Like, Sierra Canyon, like, big program. You're playing in a lot of these showcases. Like, you're one of the good teams. But also, if you're a kid that didn't grow up as a LeBron James child and you're looking around at all of this, there's still got to be some holy shit.
Yeah, but everyone at that school is, I mean, Kim Kardashian is there because North goes there. You know what I mean? Like, everyone at that school is famous adjacent. Something like Santa Monica High School, if you remember, if you've been out in LA and realized, like, there's some school names that's like, oh, that's where, is it Pembroke? No, that's in 8 Mile. But there's some places that just the cool kids go. So, like, I think it's probably more normal to them. I guess what I want to sit in, because I just did the date calculation, because I remember the day that LeBron James had his first game with Cleveland Cavaliers. Like, I remember sitting down watching that as a 13-year-old, and it's been 6,985 days since LeBron James had his first start in the NBA. So to think about in those 19-year period, like, the reality, like you said, Mike, that he created.
Yeah.
Right? Like this is, like, the world that we're living in is one that he gifted us in a very weird way.
It is very weird. And you're right. Like, it's changed a lot in that time period. And we point into the NBA all the times and all the ways that he's kind of changed the way players move and the player empowerment movement and all these different things. But I do think it's interesting now. And I guess my biggest takeaway from all this was kind of going back to the beginning, which is I hope stuff like this, as we see more of it, and especially because I'd imagine LeBron James and Bronny James's recruitment are going to continue to be a really high profile thing when he finally does decide. if and where he's going to go play college hoops or if he's going to go play in the G League. Watching him handle all of this stuff is a window into what a lot of players in college sports now are having to do. We went through this with Arch Manning not too long ago, and we saw how quiet his family kept that and how out of the spotlight everyone with the last name Manning kind of stayed in that entire process leading up to him committing to Texas. But we still haven't gotten to the point where he's on campus and on the field, and that's going to be the next test for this. And watching these young people handle this, even the ones who don't have the famous last name but who have made their last name famous through their play, they're dealing with more than any of us had to when we were coming up, and more than any athletes have at a time before that, at least in the fact of having to be business people long before that. So as people look around and say negative things about the portal and what they think it's doing to the game, or what they think NIL is doing to the game, they learned from everybody else around these sports, and now they're having to learn how to handle it. And so I'm just saying, allow some grace, because they're learning to do all this as 17 to 22 year olds. And we all know what a volatile time in life that is. We all kind of do the thing where, depending on the context, we treat you like more or less of an adult at that age, depending on what we're talking about and what point we want to make. Mm-hmm. But I think the further I get from it, the more I'm like, yeah, you're really young, and there's a lot you're trying to grapple with at that time, and we just added even more, and it's important because it can make you a shit ton of life-changing money if you hit it right.
I think I would love to take heed to every word that you just said, because the elephant in the room is, you had to grow up like this, Mike. Like, you grew up with the last name. Like, your dad did really well on the football field, and then he did really well behind a mic, to the point where you had to experience and navigate all this, to the point where, like, and this is something I'm telling you for the first time, but like, when we were start texting when I was in high school, people were like, oh, who are you texting? It's like, you know, Mike and Mike in the Morning? Like his son. Like, I think we're becoming friends. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like yeah, that level of notoriety is something that you had to navigate through your entire career.
Yeah, well, and you just grow up, Charlotte hit on it, you grew up getting used to different things that are a little bit abnormal for some other people. Like, I always just called it the fishbowl. You got used to what every, I think, athlete learns at some point is, you've got more eyes on you, and this is for any position of notoriety. When you get to a high level in some sort of job, you get more eyes on you, and so people are watching what you do, and people are watching especially for your mistakes, and so you've got to be cognizant of that, because you also don't affect just you. Like, whatever Bronny does when he gets out of college campus is going to reflect the James family name. Like, I got arrested my freshman year. Guess who had to talk about it on Mike and Mike the next day? Dad. Hey, like, it didn't affect just me.
So did I, Mike.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go.
But my dad didn't have a radio show, so he didn't have to. Yeah.
Squad.
Anyway.
Damn. Locked up. Minor intox. Let's go.
Oh, yeah. That's
she didn't say what it was for.
You don't got to say what it's for. You don't got to. I just, again, like, this is the fish bubble thing where I'm like, oh yeah, this is what I got arrested for because everybody already knows.
And yeah,
like,
mine was a fake ID. Come on.
Right. Oh yeah, listen, who among us?
Right. I was the one who got that. No, I think that's true. I think it's also interesting to hear you say that from the perspective of being the kid who had to grapple with that, because, you know, I went to a prep school in Boston where, like, a lot of the wealthiest people in Boston sent their daughters. It was an all-girls school. And, like, to the point where I didn't know that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, my family didn't have the kind of last name that was on, you know, like, the Harvard baseball field or the Duke library or, like, and I think that when you grow up in that, and for me, it was only really, and only after sixth grade, because I only started there then. But for me, it was this, it was the coming out of it and being like, oh, looking back, that's who those people were. And I wonder if for the friends or the people adjacent to the kids of athletes or even, you know, the friends of Arch Manning, I wonder if it's only later that they're like, oh, holy shit, that was actually kind of a big deal.
So again, I want to make this clear, because
it's nice to not know is what I'm trying to say.
Yes, I think for that party too. Like, I'm not comparing myself to these people. They're infinitely more famous, and these guys are infinitely more talented than I ever was. But you guys talked about that circumstance is somewhat similar, and I can tell you it does make you very guarded, because you look at everyone and go, what do you want?
Yep.
because not everyone approaches it like that. Like, I'll never forget one of Teron Armstead, who's been on this podcast, who's the tackle for the Miami Dolphins. When I was in rookie minicamp with the Saints, we were jogging off the field one day, and I was an undrafted free agent. Teron was going to be one of the money guys for them, was already an incredible player. And we're jogging off the field one day, and he looks at me because my name, the names were on our helmets, and he goes, "You know, you have the same last name as that guy on TV." And one of the other tackles was like, "Teron, like, what the fuck are you talking about? You see the junior there," but didn't know and didn't care. And there are some people that you come into that that's just kind of refreshing. And again, it's never like this is a burden, but I say this is not a complaint at all, because having a last name the way these guys have, and the way, you know, to a different and lesser extent that I did, means that so many of the things that you want are accessible. Part of that's also being a white man in America, like, throw that into the mix as well. But having that means so many of the things that you want are accessible, but at times most of the things that you have never feel like they're yours. And you always look around at your accomplishments and the things that go on wondering, what is mine and what did I actually pull from this? And you kind of learn how to live with that. That's why my 17 starts at Notre Dame, I hold them real tight, because dad couldn't play on the field for me. Like, that part, like, whatever else people want to say about that, I look at those and I go, all right, those are really special to me because I know I did those things. And that was what was in my control. And so it's just, again, none of it's a negative because there's so much positive that comes with it, but it just kind of changes your vantage point on a lot of the things that you do day to day.
I love food. Well, eating it. Preparing it, that's a different story. Sometimes that process gets to be a little bit much. I don't want to have to worry about all that. I want to eat stress-free this spring, and thankfully, Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals are here to help. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, popular ones like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan, or Veggie, and also discover the more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages that are going to help you stay fueled up and ready to go. For me, with the show, during college football season, I'm on the move and traveling a lot, and so I want to take the stress and hassle out of eating, and thankfully, Factor's got some great options. I got my first box. Their Chipotle Rub Pork Chop is awesome. The Spicy Poblano Beef Bowl has got me hype and ready to get out here and spew takes into this microphone for all of you listeners here. If you've got some highbrow taste and you're looking for gourmet meals, you can try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. If you're like me, Factor meals are there to eliminate all that hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. You simply heat it and savor the good stuff. Or you can tailor it to your schedule as well. I love that you can customize the weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. My schedule changes a lot, and so I can pause and reschedule deliveries in a way that helps and suits my lifestyle. So head over to factormeals.com/gojo50 and use code gojo50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code gojo50, G-O-J-O-5-0, at factormeals.com/gojo50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
I love hearing you talk about this stuff, Mike. Like, I remember when you did Katie Nolan's podcast maybe 2 years ago, and you really opened up about this. And I remember listening and, you know, thinking like, what a self-aware, generous spirit to understand all of that. And I think that the best we can hope for these generations of athletes who I also think, I mean, we didn't have Instagram when I was in high school. Facebook was enough. And I logged on maybe once a day or once every other day with a friend, with like my friend's sister's, you know, Hobart and William Smith college email or whatever. Like, to not have, I mean, you know, Facebook photo albums felt like enough of a liability. To have the ability to be tracked from the time you're born is, I think, hard for everybody, but it really ends up being a huge part of those kids' lives. So I think the most we can hope for them is a kind of self-awareness and grace and understanding of, you know, the fact that the only person who really can ultimately play on that court is them.
Yep. But, you know, and they'll hopefully all figure that out. Like, it's going to be just fascinating to watch because it's such a unique set of circumstances there. But, you know, where you can simultaneously admit what you've been given and then still go out there and try and earn of your own.
All I'll say is that when someday you have my kids on your, you know, huge show and they're telling you how difficult it was to grow up with the titan of a mother, Just replay these clips. Replay.
There we go. Send it back. Send the little Wilders here and make sure they know exactly the groundwork their mother laid for them.
Yes, I just want, I'm just saying it now.
Charlotte, you wasn't in these streets in MySpace? Because I got caught up all the time in MySpace. I remember that was the first time I realized that there was a delete folder. Like, my girlfriend in high school was like, give me your password. I want to see. And I was like, all right. I deleted all the stuff that got me in trouble. Then I gave her the password. And then she went right to the deleted file and had all of it in a little dossier. It was the Twitter files. For me, it's MySpace files. It was bad. It was bad. So like, because of MySpace, I stayed away from Facebook. Mike, you can attest to it.
Yep.
I didn't have Facebook at all. And it was actually Mike's little brother Jake and Kyle Rudolph who started me on Twitter. So I thank them for that. But I just stayed off of social media completely. I was like, mm-mm.
You're much smarter than everybody else, Brandon.
Not gonna catch me slipping. No.
Not again.
That was what they used to do, Charlotte, at the start of every football season, or at least for a few football seasons when we were at Notre Dame. They would bring in a social media consultant, like a company, that would come in to teach us about how to make sure we were using social media properly. Because at that point, we had gotten it during college, but some of the players that were coming out of high school when we were juniors and seniors had it for a while. And so they would bring in this company, and they would kind of follow request guys, and you wouldn't really know who they were. They would go in and they would kind of look, and then they would just pull up a bunch of these wild tweets that these high school recruits had sent out, and they would put them on the big screen in front of us in the team meeting. And they're like, you are not just talking to your friends when you are on this here bird app. You are projecting this where other people can see it. And it was one of those very wake up core memory moments where it's like, oh yeah. And I, again, had already kind of been aware of this because we came to this as college students. And so we had a little bit of a different relationship with it. But for these players that had grown up with it, it was a wake up call.
Mike, I think it was stuck with us so much because what they did was found some pictures that some of us had posted. It was a quick slideshow of like, these are the things that are out there that you guys have posted that would get you in trouble moving forward.
Wow.
And it was like when it was like fun, like, oh, look at Jim Morris and his wife. Okay. I almost said the bad word. But like look at this old photo of this person doing this crazy thing. Like, oh, that's funny. It's like, yeah, but he has got a beer in his hand. There's something on the table. There's this, you know what I mean?
Well, like, and they were like, eventually employers will be looking at this, even beyond what you want to do as a player. So, it's wild, man. So best of luck to these guys. It is a lot of pressure, and we are already getting to see into their lives in a way that is uncommon, but they can thank their dads for that one.
Thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Thanks, Dad.
Thanks, Dad.
Oh, my God. All right, guys, this podcast is always wonderful, but there's a very important element to it that comes at the end of every one of these podcasts. Oh, it is a unique responsibility for our friend Brandon Newman, where I've got to ask him the question. Brandon, do you know what time it is?
Yes, Mike, but I don't think I'm ready, but let's do this, okay? Now, next week does start Hanukkah. So just to let everybody know, our Hanukkah calendar is coming. But for now, it's time to have a very specific type of Christmas. Have a holly jolly Christmas. It's the best time of the year. Now I don't know if there'll be snow, but I don't know. Have a holly jolly Christmas. And when you walk down the street, say hello to the friends you know and everyone you meet. Fuck. This is bad. Okay. Ho, ho, the mistletoe is hung where you can see. Somebody. Holly jolly Christmas, this, that, and the third.
That might have been your best yet.
Uncut. Holy. Raw. Incredible.
And the chopped and screwed version.
Was there even a beat? Who's to say?
Listen, only God can judge. That and, apparently you also listening too, because as always, download, subscribe, rate, and review Gojo wherever you get your podcast. Leave us that 5-star rating and a review. And give Brandon some love. He effort. You know what? That's a real man in the arena moment, because there can be a lot of critics, Brandon. There can be the people that sit out here and throw stones. You're the one in the arena actually doing the thing.
Yep. And you're really doing it.
Thank you, guys. I'm trying to fight against perfection. So I just kind of ran into being terrible today. So
I loved it.
There is valor in the attempt, as always, guys. Valor in the attempt. Let's get to this, that, and the third. Three quick stories to finish off the day on here with Brandon and our friend Charlotte. In my sports career, we always got preached the importance of the little things, whether it's having your hand behind the line on a sprint, finishing out every drill, or making sure you have the right 6-inch step to start a drive block on the offensive line. It all mattered. How you do the little things is how you're going to do everything, because small actions have big benefits. This is just like how taking care of your gut health can support your whole body health. With our friends at Seed and Seed's DSO1, their daily symbiotic benefits your gut, skin, and heart health in just 2 little capsules a day. I'm getting my first shipment on the way here, and I am pumped to try it out. The thing that stands out to me, in addition to all the great health benefits, is the convenience. You don't have to refrigerate DSO1, and so the free travel vial that I'm going to get with the welcome kit, I can take on the go with me. I can have DSO1 with me wherever I need it during my busy schedule. Your guy's gut is the central hub for all these various pathways throughout your body, and a healthy gut microbiome means benefits for digestion, skin health, heart health, your immune system, and more. And everything with DO1 is backed by science. Lots of science. It was developed in collaboration with Seed's scientific board and based on their foundational work in probiotics and the microbiome. And with the new clinical trials and breakthrough research published in top scientific journals, Seed's probiotic research, development, and innovation programs make DSO1 a product you know you can trust. And the best part with prebiotics and probiotics, they work best when they are consistently used like any other routine health habits. So Seed's subscription service is easily going to build DSO1 into your routine with no refrigeration needed. So trust your gut with Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic. Go to seed.com/gojo and use code 25GOJO to get 25% off your first month. That's 25% off your first month of Seed's DSO1 Daily Symbiotic at seed.com/gojo, code 25GOJO. Let's start off with this one. We talked about this a while back. The NBA has a ton of trophies that they give out at the end of every year, and they recently made some changes to some of the names of the trophies, including this one. The regular annual regular season MVP award will now be the Michael Jordan MVP award. We were debating who this could be, and we left out only, you know, arguably the greatest player of all time in the names that we thought there. So the league unveiled that on Tuesday, along with 5 other reimagined trophies named after league pioneers that are now going to be part of the end of the season. Jordan was a 5-time MVP during his 15 years. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar has more. He is the league's Social Justice Champion Award namesake as well. So something to consider there. So the Michael Jordan MVP, which I'm sure is there to specifically needle LeBron James fans from the millennial era.
I do think that there's something about that trophy that is the most extra thing I've ever seen. You know, Michael Jordan's so petty, and he like holds all these grievances, and there are always these hidden meanings and everything he does. That trophy is 23.6 inches tall, 23 for his jersey number, 0.6 for the number of championships he won. The plaque has 6 sides to it for the number of championships he won. Something is something for 5 for the MVPs. It is so nitty gritty for the specifications of the actual trophy that it actually made me mad. I was like, we get it. We get
it. I love this take. Like, I love this
take. At some point, it's too well thought out. Like, just make it cool.
Just make it look cool. I don't care. Oh, and it weighs a certain amount. I think it...
Here it is. 15-degree angled base.
That's what killed me. I was like, no. I was like, no.
15 season.
You don't get to do an angle of the base to commemorate how much he played. Like...
23-point faceted crystal ball at the top, a nod to his jersey, obviously.
This is incredible. Did you see the league is also announcing a new award for the Clutch Player of the Year named after Jerry West?
Yeah.
Like, we already have a hard time qualifying how we vote for these awards and what matters. And now all of a sudden we're going to take the number one sports talk argument from summer radio and turn it into an award. The NBA is good at this.
Yeah. Like, just make a vibe award, like best vibes named after freaking, you know, would that be named after?
Would it be the Kuzma, like big sweater, best vibes award?
Best Balenciaga sweater award, Kyle Kuzma every year.
So the other, I think the other trophies are the Hakeem Olajuwon trophy for D player of the year, the Wilt Chamberlain rookie of the year, the John Havlicek sixth man of the year, and the George Mikan most improved.
Woo! That's what I love. I love that. Big man. Bring it back home to the Lakers back when they were in Minnesota. Or Minneapolis, excuse me. But I love that. I love that he gets a name. Like that's I hear what you're saying about the Jordan trophy, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Also, I think I had an issue that it wasn't the Jumpman.
Yeah. Like,
oh, yeah. What also, does that even look wild. Like?
Also,
yeah, it just, with this I've never seen Michael Jordan do that.
Yeah, me neither. Also, he looks like his legs are fused together. I think here's what I will say is that it could have been a great branding opportunity. Also, you could have had each trophy sponsored. If they named the arena, at least name it like the Air Jordan MVP Award.
That is true. We need to start treating these league awards like college bowl games.
Yes, exactly. The Cheez It Most Improved Player.
The Battle Frog Michael Jordan MVP Award.
The Belk Sixth Man.
I was about to say, don't bring Belk into this.
The Bad Boy Mowers Wilt Chamberlain Rookie of the Year. Oh, see, listen.
Two different Cheez It trophies.
Yes, exactly. It contains multitudes. Adam Silver, baby, call us. We got ideas.
I feel like this is connected to the LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony Suns playing thing. Cause I feel like now everyone can finally like turn a page in a chapter. Like we're so old now, right? It's down the line that the next generation is coming. Let's change the name of the awards. Let's stop playing around and give the MVP to Michael Jordan, the Michael Jordan MVP award. It's probably been in the works for a long time.
Can't wait until LeBron James inevitably in the middle of January says, hopefully one day the MVP reward will be renamed for me after my career is done.
Stop.
He's going to say it.
I just need him to sprinkle it in there. Just do it.
And also, he's not going to win. It's ironic that now he's in a position where he'll never win a Michael Jordan trophy.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine them having to give LeBron James a Michael Jordan MVP award? It has to happen now. Oh, my God.
We need one resurgent season
season.
The potential for this.
I'm betting on Bronny getting it first. Yeah, I'm betting on Bronny getting it first and then peeing on it like Drake does Grammys.
Oh, my God. We'll get to Drake in a minute. Why don't we get to that first since Brandon's peeing on people now? And talk about something bit more wholesome. I thought this was interesting since we've talked so much about celebrities intersecting with sports today. Gary Bettman said that he had a conversation recently with Ryan Reynolds about joining the Ottawa Senators' new ownership group. They got put up for sale in November after the death of their longtime owner. And Reynolds talked about on the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon potentially being a part of this group. And it's interesting just because we're coming off of, and I haven't watched Wrexham FC yet, the show that they did about the soccer club that Ryan Reynolds became part of in the fifth tier of English soccer, along with Rob McElhenney. And it's just interesting to think of now if that's something that people looked at and thought, oh, maybe we can replicate. Like, would an NHL team maybe look at something like that in the wake of what we saw with Drive to Survive and now this as an effort to bring eyeballs to a sport in a different way?
I think absolutely. I think that this is going to start happening everywhere. I mean, the only reason that most people know of Wrexham FC is now because of that doc. And then that's going to bring in turn eyeballs to the other teams that they play. And then imagine if you get something remotely interesting about an NHL team, if you get hockey players to actually say something that isn't like word salad of iceberg lettuce, like lettuce.
Wow.
I feel like we're going to start seeing, you could say almost Hard Knocks was the original, sports look inside reality show, but done by the league. So if you're really going to do it, I think you really have to do it and give people something juicy.
No, completely agree. I mean, especially for us, Hard Knocks, but they're doing regular season Hard Knocks now because people eat this stuff up. There's an appetite for it. And so it's just, it's interesting to consider as a strategic move by the NHL in that regard, if he does end up becoming part of that. Because for the commissioner to say it, I think is calculated to throw that out and say, we would love to have you for X, Y, and Z reason. Look at his social following. Look at what he brings to the table.
Look at the proposal.
Protect Sandra Bullock's dog at all costs, am I right?
Charlotte, would you consider The Proposal a Christmas movie?
I wouldn't, but now that you're asking me, should I?
Brandon isn't tried that to weird put
Sandra
in Bullock,
isn't that Sandra Bullock and she and he like her dog almost gets carried away by an eagle?
Yes, yes. As she is trying
to summer movie.
That's what I told Brandon. He tried to put it in his Christmas top five. It's just Canadian and in Alaska, and so it's cold and nice. God.
Are you kidding me?
And it's on all the time during the holiday season. It's been on USA. It's coming on. It's now's the time. Okay. I'm just telling you. They tricked me.
You know what?
They tricked me too.
You sang for us. You can have it.
Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, let's finish this off the right way, guys, and get to the third. Drake.
So, I don't know what this one is.
So celebrity jeweler Alex Moss told TMZ that Drake had a newly designed piece, a diamond necklace with 42 engagement diamond rings for all of the times that he has wanted to propose. There are 351.38 carats in the diamonds. It's made with 18 carat white gold using an eagle claw technique, and it took 14 months to make and debuted at Little Baby's birthday concert in Atlanta last Saturday. 42 rings, 42 diamonds for the 42 times he has wanted to propose. Brandon, defend your guy.
Why got,
because you're the Drake stan on this podcast, and I just want to know what your thought is on this.
I think it's brilliant, Mike. As our artists and our entertainers tend to dip into different realms that they want to mess around in, Drake has a perfume line out. He's done a bunch of other things. Now he has jewelry. The most expensive of jewelries with all these different cut stones. Mike, the piece of jewelry is beautiful. It's beautiful in its simplicity. It's also beautiful in its gaudiness. It's beautiful in its just dripping in wealth. And the concept is, what's the name of it again? Previous Engagements is the name. Previous Engagements is the name, of the necklace. Thank you. Previous Engagement. There's something to it, Mike, that just feels elegant and classy, and it should be in what's the name of that store that's like all crystal in a mall? Like
Tiffany?
Swarovski?
Yep, that one. Mm-hmm.
Brandon, Swarovski. I hope you're being sarcastic. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my entire life. This is like Drake throwing himself a pity party of like, oh, all the women who I could, like, it's like, oh my God. It feels misogynist to me. It feels like it's not sexist at all on the face value. It feels misogynist. It's like it feels like it's bad for women is all I'll say.
It's giving mansplaining.
It's giving only woman in the conference room vibes is what it's giving.
Ooh. Ooh. It's like terrible. I can't quite put terrible my finger on it.
I don't know what it is.
Just something there.
Hey. As someone who has my antennas up to things that just feel like just a little bit racist, like,
yeah,
I'm gonna respect that take.
You know, like there are towns you go to, no one does anything overt, yes, but you're like, this place feels a little racist, and this is what this necklace feels a little misogynist. Can't quite tell you why yet, but I don't like it.
We can't quite put our finger on it here. I will just say, publicly admitting that you thought about proposing 42 times feels like something beautiful to tell your therapist and maybe not your jeweler.
Really?
That's Mike, a lot of times.
Too many times. I haven't like 42.
Thought about proposing?
Let alone.
No. I would say, as someone who has been serially single for a while, I could promise you, could not fill out one finger, let alone a necklace.
No. Mm-mm. No, you're a sociopath if you've wanted to propose to that many people.
It sounds like you got to get more open with people, Mike, and then maybe they'll be open with you, and then they get to that spot. Like I think Drake is probably way too open. A lot of people he's with probably have they know him through his music, so you know they can jump right into certain real topics.
I would say,
and you know that adds 42 times.
No,
I don't trust it at all.
Anyone who's ever listened to Marvin's Room, this necklace makes a lot of sense based on the artist that could write that song. We 100%. Can't quite put our finger on why you would enjoy this podcast, but we hope that you did. If you did so, make sure you download, subscribe, rate, and review Gojo wherever you get your podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and a review, and check us out on the DraftKings YouTube channel as well under the Gojo with Mike Golic Jr. tab there. Also, make sure you follow our dear friend Charlotte Wilder at The Wilder Things on all social media platforms to see all of the wonderful, wonderful things that she makes in and around the world of sports. Charlotte, thank you so much. Brandon, thank you so much. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Boom. Money in the bank. Like a lot of people out there, I'm a big Swiftie. And so as you can imagine, when the Taylor Swift Eras Tour was announced last summer, it was like the Super Bowl for me. I had everything ready to go to give myself the best chance of getting great tickets. My whole family was in on the action. We spent hours in front of our monitors waiting for the link for the presale before the presale so that when we got our chance in line, we clicked the right button at the right time to make sure we had our chance at great seats for this once-in-a-lifetime concert opportunity. Because when you want the best, you have to act quickly, or someone else is going to get it instead. It's like if you're hiring for your business. You want to find the most talented people for your open roles before the competition scoops them up. So what's the best way to do that? ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. Immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. So amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Gojo. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants. They all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.